Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Lori, can you hear me? Hello? Lori, can you hear me? Okay, so everything from women's rights to immigration rights and everything in between, Republicans block everything to move America forward. This is why we can't have nice things in America. There are good Republicans out there, but they don't speak up. Why is that? Let's talk, America. How can we unite and move forward together? Also, tonight we'll have Brian S. J., Democratic nominee for Congress, District 9 in Michigan. He's going to update us on his campaign to unseat MAGA Congresswoman Lisa McLean. She has tons of corporate money, but still refuses to debate him. What is she afraid of? Give us a call tonight, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. The number again is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, we're anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Hello, Lori, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened before, but, you know, saying hello.
Yeah,
I heard nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up and I just logged back in, so.
Yes, ma'am.
A technical thing.
Yeah, technical difficulties, as usual.
Yeah.
For tonight's topic,
mm-hmm.
Season 2, Episode 21, Misery Accomplished, When Republicans Killed with a Smile. We can have several examples of what's going happening now, what GOP governors are especially doing. Greg Abbott in Texas and Ron DeSantis in Florida, using buses, chartering buses, and taking them to different blue states, like New York and Massachusetts and wherever else, you know, and, you know, we talk about that and other missteps, misguided policies Republicans have. Later on the show, we're going to speak with Brian S.J. He's a Democratic nominee for Congressional District 9 in the great state of Michigan. He's going to update us on his campaign. His opponent is incumbent MAGA Trump supporter, Congresswoman Lisa McLean, who's very clueless.
Yeah.
And she has tons of corporate money and money of her own, but she still refuses to debate him. Why is that? What is she afraid of? You know, she's afraid of pulling a Lauren Boebert, who, you know, is even more dunce than her. I'm sorry, but let us, you know, call a spade. She's not very bright. You know, Republican Congress people, whether man or woman, is not really bright. They base everything off the Bible, you know, and that's silly. You know, they don't have any, what's the word I'm looking for? They have no critical thinking skills. Yeah, so we'll hope to hear from everybody tonight. Number 515-605-9802. You can subscribe and like us on Facebook. Leave a comment. It's facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And So where should we start, Lori?
Well, since we're talking a little bit about Michigan, Governor is going to debate Dixon. Her name is Tudor Dixon, by the way. She's anti-choice. Even with rape and incest, there are no exceptions for her. And I think the debate is going to be in mid-October. They haven't really, I don't think they've set a date yet because they haven't said. I do see it. It's going to be Thursday, October the 13th, but they haven't announced the outlet yet. So that's when it's going to be. And I know that the governor is going to basically chew her up and spit her out. This woman has no experience in politics whatsoever, and she has no business whatsoever even running for governor. I don't understand how she thinks that she could run a state when you have no experience whatsoever. It's appalling to me to think that you can just come out of nowhere because you are a Trump supporter and, you know, you were endorsed by the Orange Monster, and you can just, you know, become the governor of our great state. Not happening. There's too much at stake at Michigan. In Michigan, there's too much at stake. We have to worry about Line 5, you know, the tunnel, et cetera, et cetera. And no way do we need an inexperienced person to run the state. Governor has done an excellent.
Yes, and speaking of inexperience, Mark Ronchetti, he is a local weatherman for a TV station here. He ran unsuccessfully for U.S. Senate against Ben Ray Lujan, who's now the junior senator from the great state of New Mexico, where I'm at. He's doing an excellent job. And Ronchetti has money through his teeth. His father is wealthy. And, you know, he spent a lot of money, even though it wasn't necessary, to win a Republican nomination when he ran for Senate. He did the same thing in the Republican gubernatorial primaries. He won, you know, so, I mean, money is pouring out of his coffers in advertisement, radio, and TV ads and print ads. And you know, I mean, he has no experience, you know, whether local or statewide. He's just known as a weatherman, and he made his name from being a weatherman. And his family is like, when I'm talking wealthy, I mean super wealthy, ridiculously wealthy. You know, he hopes to unseat Michelle Lujan Grisham, the incumbent Democratic governor in a blue state. And, you know, I don't think he'll even come close. I mean, outside money coming into New Mexico as well, so that's concerning. But Michelle Lujan Grisham has done a good job. When Joe Biden was first elected, he was president-elect, he offered her health and human services secretary, but she turned it down. Why? Because she loved the state of New Mexico. She wanted to finish a job that she had started, and she didn't want to be, like, you know, halfway, you know, what her agenda was. And so she politely turned down Joe Biden, stayed with the job as governor. And ever since then, you know, ever since she's been elected, she's been doing a fabulous job, whether it's women's rights, women's health care, immigration, you know, things of that nature. Everything you can think of, Grisham is an A-plus in my eyes. You know, she Mark Ronchetti, everything Grisham is for, he's against, and he's such a Trump supporter. It's ridiculous. It's nauseating. Yeah. It's vomitous. Yeah.
It sure is, and that's exactly where we are here in Michigan the same way, because Governor Whitmer, even during COVID and the lockdown, I mean, she kept the state going, and, you know, the Trump supporters, you know, the MAGAs, are still upset with her because she locked down the state. Well, she saved lives is what she did. And we know that. And those of us that can think logically understand. And our economy in Michigan is doing well. She's put in some good policies. Our roads are getting fixed. so on and so forth. So there, as far as I'm concerned, she's been a very good on-the-job governor every single day. So,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, this woman that's, you know, come out of nowhere mm-hmm. thinks that she can just come in and take her seat. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think the abortion mm-hmm. issue will be a big deal because, you know, being against, you know, being pro-life the way she is without any exceptions is unacceptable for any woman.
Indeed. Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes, it is.
So that part mm-hmm. is appalling to me.
Exactly. It is. Very much so. Very much so.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say one other thing. There's a little bit of good news about mm-hmm. Michigan and Pennsylvania. We're finally ungerrymandered. They ungerrymandered the maps.
Mm-hmm.
So the districts are, you know, a little bit in favor of Democrats. And so I'm hoping, you know, this is after decades of, you know, the GOP gerrymandering, you know, and that's come mm-hmm. to an end in Michigan and Pennsylvania. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Democrats right now have their best shot at, you know, taking maybe control of the state legislature in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. So let's see what happens. It'll be very interesting. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing if all that hard work is going to, you know, make it better for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a special shout out to the delegation, congressional delegation from the great state of New Mexico. We have two great U.S. senators. Mm-hmm. Martin Heinrich is an excellent human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's a senior U.S. senator from New Mexico. In District mm-hmm. 1, Melanie Stansbury in Albuquerque, that's my congresswoman, love her dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And in Congressional District 3 is mm-hmm. Teresa Ledger Fernandez, who represents Santa Fe, and she's mm-hmm. been serving since 2021. Good Democrat, great American. And as I said, mm-hmm. Ben Ray Lujan, the junior senator who was recently elected when Mark Ronchetti ran against him a couple years back. You know, the mm-hmm. only place in the second district that a Republican is in control of, her name is Yvette Harrell, and we're coming for that seat. We're going to get that seat.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to get that seat, you know, because...
Yeah, we need to do that.
Yes. Yeah, she's an embarrassment to the state of New Mexico. Yeah, she's another Trumpet. Mm-hmm. She is out there. She's weird. You know, I don't know even where to start to describe that woman. You know, but she got to go, man. She got to go. She got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like a Second Amendment freak show.
Yeah, they're all like that, you know.
Yeah, like I said,
their
no
Second Amendment,
thinking.
They can take it and shove it way
yes,
I look at
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Second Amendment, Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong. Democrats not trying to take away anybody's guns.
No.
But at the same time, need good sense of gun mm-hmm. laws. You know,
yeah.
So. Yes, yes. Okay, so we have a call on the line. I don't know if this is Brian. Mm-hmm. Let me check. Mm-hmm. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, this is Brian.
Hi,
Brian.
Hi,
welcome.
9th Congressional District. Hi, how are
Hi,
you?
Brian.
Excellent. How is the campaign going?
Mm-hmm.
So let me go through really quickly. So what we've been doing, like I have a small staff. Unlike Mr. Marlingo running in the 10th, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, predetermined to be more of a swing district,
mm-hmm.
the 9th, which was the 10th, is a district
yeah.
that hasn't been flipped in 20 years. So, you know, I have a small staff that's been doing a lot of call time and a lot of individualistic work, but a lot of it's been through the county parties and through the state party and through the DNC, just coordinating, streamlining. Basically, a strategy and a method to try to flip this district blue. which hasn't been able to happen in 20 years, really, since Candace Miller took over David Bonnier's seat. So a lot of the – before the primary, my focus was on just coordinating with endorsements, which at this point I've been endorsed, almost, I think, by 20 different organizations, including Major Labor, UAW, AFL, the National Education Association. But what we wanted to focus on, and I spoke to Mr. Marlinga extensively on the phone, and I met with him in his office, is he helped me come up with a strategy to streamline. And really what this is, it's difficult because I'm running in 7 counties in the state of Michigan. So
yeah.
I'm taking over part of where Representative Slotkin would have represented in half of Oakland County. And then Lisa McClain had the north part of Macomb up to the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So we focused on really, obviously women's fundamental rights, pro-choice, gun safety issues, and pro-public education. Those are the big things that I'm putting on all my billboards. We have billboards going up right now in the Thumb, in St. Clair, and Lapeer. These are areas that I didn't have a lot of. They wouldn't know me as well out there. So I wanted to make sure I get as many billboards up with
That's
my name.
That's a good idea.
So we're doing that, and essentially. The campaign's interesting because I'm dealing with a woman that's very, very far right, very close to Donald Trump. She was the first person that had dinner with Donald Trump after he was raided by the FBI. She intrinsically avoids me. We had a bipartisan presentation today where I was giving a presentation to somewhere in St. Clair. Some Republicans showed up. Shane Hernandez and Lisa McClain were supposed to show up, found out I was showing up, and then did not show up. Shane Hernandez is running for lieutenant governor. He's also from St. Clair. So, it gave me an interesting feel for some different areas, giving a speech to a room that was sort of mixed. I think there is, there's been a lot of talk, and the statistics by 538. Of course, based on the last 20 years, everyone's going to say I'm going to lose statistically. These aren't necessarily polls that are being taken. These are just statistics. Mr. Marlinga ran in this district 20 years ago, and, he didn't win. I mean, it's just a very hard district for a Democrat.
Yeah.
So when I speak to people, when I talk to people, we try to focus on, number one, she's extreme, just like Governor Whitmer and, just like Tudor Dixon. I mean, Governor Whitmer has gotten support from a lot of swing voters, a lot of different voters. So we're trying to focus on building up, not losing the Democratic basic, of course, but convincing people that this is just a movement that needs to be stopped. An example, even just yesterday, someone retweeted me to 2 million people, and I got like 100 threats within one night. And, they're mocking my height, whatever. I mean, whatever. I don't really – I'm shorter. I've been short for 43 years. I'm okay with it. But, it's just the point that these people – these are not like low-level people retreat. This is like the top, the people who write books on Donald Trump, the people who are on stage with him, the people who are next to him. And they're doing it purposely. They know what they're doing when they do it. They do it to incite. They do it to make me a target when I go out. And it's almost, it bring back the question of the insurrection. Everyone says, Donald Trump says, I wasn't doing anything. He knew what he was doing. When he was using, there's a reason he was banned off Twitter. Within one day, I went to almost 1.5 million people where they were just whatever. So, I mean, that is the power of social media. And we have to remember that. And I think a lot of these far-right Republicans are using it. So the campaign is really just focusing on reaching as many people as we can. I got, for the primary, there was no Democratic contest. I got around 50,000 votes. There was just over 123,000 Republicans. So my hope and my prayers are that going into November, obviously a woman's fundamental right to choose is huge. So they're really hitting any Democratic male candidate, anything to do with women. They're doing a huge thing against Marlinga, like throughout the country.
I know.
There's, some things have been said about me that are just blatantly false.
Yes.
I won't go entirely into them, but we have to remember that the GOP wants to make sure, and they want to keep women voters, they don't want to lose. So there are a lot of the strategies and a lot of the information they're spreading, obviously, about Mr. Marlinga is not factual. You know, they're spending more money on him because it's a much closer margin than the previous the statistics in my district. I mean, no Democrat has gotten over 35% of the vote in 20 years. So statistics have put me at 43% in some polls, which would be the highest a Democrat has reached in 20 years.
That's pretty good.
My goal is to
good.
Push it further, obviously, which would be over 50%. But I think really, I think it's a combination. I have commercials going out on WWJ 950. I have commercials mostly on the radio. I've been contacted by some cable TV. And we focus on some different aspects, mostly on being a young father, just fighting for women's rights to choose. And then I do mention that I wanted to dedicate my life to law enforcement because I really feel that the Republican Party uses that. And they use it as sort of a weaponized tool. I know Mr. Marlinga was a prosecutor. You know, I was considered by him to be the prosecutor in Macomb when Eric Smith was arrested. So, you know, it strikes a chord and it strikes a balance that sort of pushes it to where, you know, people will think a little bit. They might talk to me that might not necessarily have. My billboard will also say very prominently, if you make under $400,000 a year, none of the policies I'm going to be enacting in Congress are going to affect you. And there's not many people that are going to be making over $400,000 a year. So, you know, I've thought it out very succinctly, and, you know, I'm trying my best and try to use my intelligence to try to make sure that I can come across and show people what a Democrat stands for and not waver from Democratic ideals or beliefs, but at the same time get a district that hasn't voted a Democrat into Congress in 20 years and try to talk. You know, some Republicans I've talked to, mostly it's fiscal. You know, they're concerned about money, and that's the major point that I get from a lot of, you know, not the hardcore, like Lisa McClain, QAnon. Those guys are gone. Like, they just want to come and kill me. So I don't really worry about them too much. You know, and it is part of it. Like, it's sort of awful that it takes a lot of good candidates. It takes a lot of people that want to run for office because they see this.
Yeah.
I marched in a parade. Yeah. I had a handful of volunteers. I mean, not a zillion, but I had people that signed up, and they kept dropping out, like, right before because some of them said they were worried about safety, all these different things. I marched in this parade. One other candidate did come in, and then he came out. But, I mean, people were screaming at me. People were behind Trump flags. And I literally was by myself for almost 3 miles.
That's so sad. It is really.
And so, you know, it's not – I'm not trying to say anything as a self-ego boost. It wasn't an ego thing because I marched in that parade. And the reason I finished it and the reason I did it is because I've had students write me. Now, I've had LGBTQ students. I've had different students and high school students say that they're afraid to even say they're a Democrat because they're in areas in my district where it's Donald Trump has brainwashed people to such a point. And I don't think that should be disconcerting because I don't necessarily know if a lot of these numbers are going to come out and vote for Tudor Dixon. So my feeling is that the hardcore, the guys that were sitting on their motorcycles screaming at me, I don't even know if they're going to come out in November. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
No action.
You know, I think what it's really going to come down to is women. I think it's going to come down to women saying that we don't want the government to control our body.
That's right.
And, you know, I think there is a chance. I've been told.
I do too.
To be prepared that she'll challenge it. You know, she'll try to challenge the election, and some of her followers are. I don't get scared very much. Obviously, I did want to dedicate my life to law enforcement, so not a lot. Like, even guys twice my size, it doesn't affect me. But I understand, volunteers and people that they don't want to walk in a parade thinking that. I had to have sheriffs walk on the side of me. The Richmond police were kind. Some cops love Donald Trump, but those guys were good. I'll give them that. You know, and they were nice to me. So, and not everyone, when I say people were screaming, I don't mean everyone in the crowd. I mean a few people here and there, but enough to, it would have scared people if they were there. So it's disappointing that we're at that point in America, and we really need to reevaluate where we are, that that we're screaming at a guy just because he wants to run for office. So, without knowing anything about me, really. I mean, other than I'm a Democrat. I mean, that's all they knew about me. So it's disconcerting and it's disheartening. But that's okay. You know, I knew that going into a district that hasn't been flipped blue in 20 years, it was going to be challenging. It was going to be hard. But Lisa McClain continuously avoids going to anything where I am. And I don't think she shouldn't be afraid of me. I mean, she should
come. Brian, that's what I was going to ask you. Why do you think that she won't face you? I mean, I don't understand that. If she is the incumbent and, you know, if she thinks she's done a great job in the past 2 years in office, why doesn't she want to debate you? Why can't she even come to a function and face you? I mean, that's cowardice to me.
It's weird.
Do you have any idea why?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm intimidating. I'm not that big physically. Like a room full of individual, professional individuals, judges.
Yes.
I don't know. So will she respond to Flashpoint? I'm not really sure. One of her staff members was there, but he was sort of really strange with me, and he was just sort of. I didn't ask him. Like I just let it go. I don't know who he was. If she wants to approach, you know, Devin Scillian, I'm totally prepared and totally ready to go on it. I think that.
Oh, I know you are.
Her positions are so out there.
Maybe that's why.
I don't know, because I had Republicans talk to me and they said they're disheartened that, you know, that I was getting threats. They don't agree with a lot of my positions. Not elected Republicans, like just people in the crowd. And they said, I told them the last previous night, the guy who wrote the book on Donald Trump, he wrote some book about how Trump's America, and he retweeted me to just under 2 million people. And so in a course of, like, when I went to bed to when I woke up, I had hundreds of threats. I mean,
I saw the tweet.
Now, I mean, they're from all over. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll check my. I don't take it that serious, but.
No.
You know, it's just the point that, you know, where have we come in America that even if you do retweet me, like, I don't care. Like, really? I don't know. So.
It's almost like putting red meat out there and they all want a bite of the red meat. I don't understand. The mentality
they don't like their
of
own
these
view.
People.
Like, so, like, these guys, these hardcore Donald Trumpers, like, they believe the Republican Party started in 2015. Like, they're like a separate entity of humans.
Yes.
And that's who's attacking me. So it's like this, and it's the top of them. So it's like Marjorie Taylor, the people who do the conferences, Wolbert. Marjorie Taylor Greene, this guy named Alex something, this other guy, you know, I mean, and they have millions of followers, and they're the most ruthless people that you've ever met. So,
oh, I know.
You know, I don't argue with President Biden on this point at all, and I don't agree with ideologically, but I'm actually seeing people come from a lot of different angles and saying this isn't what we want. This isn't what we want in office. So I don't even do it on purpose. Like, I'm not even doing this as a political stunt. I literally just get attacked. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know how to word it. I mean,
And for you, I mean, I give you so much credit because if, you know, you're just a man that wants better for yourself, for your country, and you care, and, you know, you're doing all the right things, you're not hurting anybody, you're not attacking anybody, you're doing, you know, all the things to try to get elected, try to be positive, and then you have this MAGA force that are just a bunch of ruthless, spineless, ignorant. I don't even know what words I can use anymore because I am so fed up with it. And it's sad because this is not what we want in our country.
Nobody wants
it.
I mean, the lists have been released. So, you know, I think, you know, the FBI, there was a leaked list of oath builders, and there's every profession you can imagine on the list. So there are police, there are, you know, it's disheartening to know that there's people. It's almost like a secret society. And, you know, Donald Trump says in his rallies, the 1776, and we're going to rise up. And it's frightening. And it's frightening as someone, I was going to go into the FBI into counterintelligence, domestic terrorism. That's what I see. And that's how I view this. And I see it. I see the people, and I see the anger in them, and it instills sort of this sense of just fear that if this keeps going, it's going to lead to sort of another type of situation. What happened on January 6th? So they don't even think that happened. Mm-hmm. They think the FBI set it up. I mean, I have people literally write me and say January 6th never even happened. And I'm like, it was, you know, I mean, what? So I don't even deal with that. These aren't political stunts. This is literally, you know, there's some candidates I talk to and they say they just use social media. If social media can get me out there and get people to follow me, that's fine. I don't care if they mock me because then it's bringing other people and they're at least learning who I am as a candidate and they're checking out my webpage, whatever. So that's a positive aspect of it. I do have now being endorsed by the unions like the UAW. I have meet and greets with the different individuals. And that's really powerful because Donald Trump focuses on working class individuals. Like the Republican Party has taken this point, especially the Michigan Republican Party, which is very Trump, has said that every Democrat's just fighting for elitist values, which is totally opposite of what every policy and platform that's coming out of D.C. actually does. So, you know, the billboards, you know, that will be going up, they're gonna pinpoint being endorsed by the union, but also by, you know, women's associations because, you know, women need to know that what other women have supported me, whatever. You know, that's just part of this because I don't know, with a month and a half out, some crazy things have been said, and I just want to make sure that doesn't affect the vote at all. You know, the same thing with Marlinga. They're going through his web pages, through his old law firm. As a lawyer, you represent – I don't know what – we haven't talked about that. I let him, you know, fight his own battles. But they're mostly just designed to hurt him with women voters, and that's what they're trying to
that's
do.
That's all they're trying to do. They're calling him a pedophile.
It's horrible.
Like,
it's just a horrible thing,
that.
And none of it's true.
Yeah. It's not
true. He's been so kind to me. Like, let me say, if anyone's listening, and I'm younger, and he doesn't have to talk to me, but he's called me on the phone, and he's allowed me to come to his office. He said very kind words about me. And, you know, I mean, obviously the DCC and you know, the senators are focused on that district because it's closer statistically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very
yep.
prominent
mm-hmm.
man. But, you know, I still mm-hmm. want to try to make history. I still want to try to
I do too.
To shake it up because
I want you to. Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. if, you know, that's what I did this for. So if I can get young people, if I can get people that just vote and they're just tired of what they're seeing. And, I mean, I mm-hmm. there's parents on there and there's teachers. And, like, how can you elect a woman that just stands by and these are her people? You know, I mean, these
mm-hmm.
are the people she retweets. These are the people that
mm-hmm.
she's encouraging. And whether she's
mm-hmm.
doing it or not, it's still – you know, whether Donald Trump actually goes out, like he did want to start, like he says he didn't, but whether he actually entered the Capitol or not, it was his words
mm-hmm.
that incited those people
yes,
to go
was.
Into that Capitol. And I believe
sure
that 100%. And,
I do, too.
It's the
I
same
know,
thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm
I
sorry.
Know, Brian,
I was just going to say.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
When these guys retweet me to 2 million people, it's not to be nice. It's
mm-hmm.
for me to be targeted. And that's what they
mm-hmm.
do. And I think Donald Trump did the same thing with the cap. So that was all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, that, you know, if they had sound policies that if they get reelected or elected, this is what they plan to do. But instead of doing that and say, okay, this is our record, our voting record, you know, the being petty and being juvenile by attacking you personally and other Democrats
yeah.
around the country, you know,
yeah.
It's just such juvenile behavior. You know, they can't stand on the records, and because McClain can't stand on her record, she's just a rubber stamp for Trumpism, then she's afraid
mm-hmm.
of you to debate you.
She
you
is
know,
afraid
that's my
of
perspective.
Him. I agree
you know?
With you, David.
For
I mean, her voting record is dismal, to say the least. She's voted against
mm-hmm.
pretty much every bill that's come across her desk. She has
yes,
drafted
she has.
Some legislation. She claims that to be bipartisan. She drafted legislation
mm-hmm.
that tracked claims on veterans, but then she voted
mm-hmm.
against the toxic pit veteran health care
oh,
legislation.
Yeah.
So everything she does
mm-hmm.
sort of counteracts
mm-hmm.
each other, as long as it doesn't touch her corporate donors and her special
mm-hmm.
interest sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean the – the legislation she's drafting is so on the cusp of not touching anything that it's not going to upset
mm-hmm.
anybody. So the other resolutions she drafted were just quite horrible regarding ghost guns, some other
yes.
things that she tried to pass. So
mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I would debate her in a second or a conversation,
mm-hmm.
whatever flashpoint they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But she just, I don't know. She hasn't shown up.
You know, for example, the American West.
It was sort of uncomfortable because it's the first time I was in a room with a lot of elected Republicans speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of got out of there quickly after it was done. But I'm really trying to reiterate to people that, you know, I mean, you hear Shulton say this isn't left or right. And I'm a strong Democrat, and I believe that there are some things, you know, I will fight for, especially fundamental rights and different things. But this point, like this, whatever's going on, like whatever these people are doing is just basic
mm-hmm.
humanity. Like it's just basic.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, I don't even
exactly.
understand it. So,
no.
Mm-hmm.
They're at their lowest point, Brian. I mean, I don't know how much lower they can go. You know, when you start, you know, the ads that they run and the things that they say and the threats that they make. It's all, like David said, it's just childish. It's petty. And I don't know who
they
want
to make fun of my height. That's fine. I retweeted James Matt. Like I have to have a good sense of humor. I mean, I've been short my whole
yeah.
life. They were attacking the Attorney General of Pennsylvania. I guess he's short
yeah.
too
mm-hmm.
or something. And then,
yeah.
you know, I said something, they retweeted me to like 2 million people, and then it's just really is childish, because really
it
my
is.
Height has nothing to do with anything basis
mm-hmm.
of anything
yeah.
I would do in office.
It's just
but
it's
the threat,
you know what I
like,
think
I,
also maybe, Brian, the other thing is that they just try to get people to focus on other things instead of an issue, because they have no issues to focus on. They have
nothing.
Well,
there's not a lot of issues for them to focus on. A lot of their points are the radical left is destroying America. I mean,
right.
They call everybody the radical left. I mean, you could be it doesn't matter. So the policies
I don't know what's so radical about, you know, a living wage.
There's nothing
what's
that,
radical
I mean,
about
everything they think
healthcare.
Is,
they
would destroy and dismantle the ACA. They would take away every fundamental right if they could. Lisa McClain's voted against the Respect for Marriage Act. She's voted against pretty much everything that expands the ACA. She's voted against the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, I can go on and on. She's voted against everything. So
yes, she has.
She sometimes takes credit, though, for certain aspects, like funding to first responders. She'll take credit and say, well, you know, every Democrat wants to defund everything, but then she votes against federal funding for the same thing. So there's a lot of hypocrisy, and there's just a lot of false narratives. But, I mean, there's not much. That's sort of what they've built their whole base on is false narratives. So, I mean, the best thing I can do now is get my commercials out, get my billboards up, give advertisements. I mean, I'll knock on many doors as I can, and I have knocked on doors, and it's great to talk to people, but I'm not realistically going to be able to talk to a million people. So, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, yard signs, get as many as I can out, you know, word of mouth, being endorsed by these other labor unions for them to tell other people to vote for specific people that support unionization. There's a lot of labor in my district. There's a lot of workers. For some reason, you know, I've talked to a lot of guys that work on the line, and they like Trump, and I don't get it because Trump doesn't even support unions. So
I know it's crazy.
You know, there's
isn't
a lot
it?
Of misconceptions and a lot of misunderstanding, and I'm hoping to reach as many people as I can in a short period of time, and that's really, you know, all I can do. Beyond,
of course.
I don't know if they're going to do a full-fledged. They do most of their attacks against me, just misinformation or just blatant, like, personal attacks and just retweet me. And, you know, what they're doing to Carl is much different and much targeted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it's just politics
I've
can be really
it.
Horrible sometimes.
Yeah, I've never seen it this bad, though. And the wording is horrible, and the things that they say are sickening. You know, they're calling a man, you know, calling him a pedophile. I mean, really?
None of it's true, no.
I know it's not true.
I mean, obviously.
Absolutely
I mean, they said the same thing about Biden. So, I mean.
Yes, they did.
They do this, and they're doing it. I mean, we've talked on the phone. We didn't, you know, we just know that. We're both getting attacked in different ways, and you know, I mean, it's hard to quantify what it's like to run for office because it's weird. What a lot of people don't understand is I get it going out, like I'll go to the store, I'll go around, and people do recognize me, and you know, I get stared down by a lot of guys a lot bigger than me. For some reason, I don't know what this has become. Like, why is this even going on?
Weird.
Like, why do they think that Donald Trump is such a savior? Like, they think I'm the anti-Donald Trump. But why do they care so much about him? Like, he would take away all their benefits.
Everything.
He would take away every program that keeps food on the table for their family. Like, I don't get it. So.
Right.
Yeah. I could go on and on, but
I know.
You know, there is a risk inherent when you run for office, and you know, being, you know, my social media gets a lot of hits, and I think there's become some like beef between me and these top level QAnon guys. And although I don't really love it, it does bring people to check out my webpage. So if it gets me some people to see, oh look, he's done this and. This is where he stands, and we'll vote for him. And look what she says, you know. And oh, he, you know. So it is.
I just hope you get that debate.
But
it doesn't sound like you're going to get the debate. I hope so.
I mean, it would be very professional. It would be very controlled. I just don't – I don't know why a woman that is – you know, I mean, I've worked all over as a lawyer, but, I mean, I just don't see her being afraid of me if she's having dinner with Donald Trump, the former president of the United States. So there's something weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something weird that this is a person – if you're hanging out with Donald Trump, you're not afraid of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Exactly.
That's why it's just strange.
It's weird.
You know, my take on that,
I would love to be able to discuss issues relevant to the district.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's going to – I know what she'll claim. She's going to claim that every policy I want to enact is going to increase inflation. I mean, I could go on and on. But, I mean, I would like to actually discuss it because it's not true. But she knows that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and my perspective on that, Brian and Laura, is that she know it's a quote-unquote safe Republican red district. So she's taking it for granted that, hey, you know, a Democrat hasn't won in how many years? And, you know, as you say, you know, her vote.
Her base.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to lose anyone on the fringe. Like, their party, the Republican Party is fighting themselves. So now they don't love that I'm a Democrat. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's fiscally. But there's some that are so – I mean, I have Republicans in my family. There's some that are so disgusted by what's going on. You know, I'm not even trying to do this. Like, I'm not even trying to set up some political stunt. They're just sort of disgusted that I'm getting threatened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's
just
very
sad.
Disheartening. And I have Republicans write me, and I have – you know, I mean – most of their questions come on how I will vote on fiscal bills, and I tell them, you know, I'm a Democrat. Do you make over $400,000? It's not going to affect me. I want people to understand what a Democrat actually is, like what a Democrat is fighting for in Congress. And so, you know, I'm not going in this trying to pretend to be anything I'm not. If I win it, I win it as a Democrat, and I change people's perspectives, and that's really important, I think, because a lot of people don't understand. We have Donald Trump give these speeches that he calls every single Democrat a communist. I mean, none of this, like these words, you know, I get called a communist all the time. They don't even know, like people calling me these things don't even understand.
Yeah.
So
the socialist Islamo-fascist. The socialist Islamist fascist. I mean, these three different ideologies literally hate each other. They're just throwing words together, and it's a soundbite for Fox News on whichever right-wing station on the radio. You know, it makes no sense. These people, Republicans, make no sense. Or I should say MAGA Republicans, because there are good Republicans out there, and
there's
you know,
a lot
for some reason they're not
right
fighting
now,
for the
and
party.
I think that's what's going on, and they don't love... Like, don't, I mean, you know, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat my whole life. But there's people so disheartened, I think, by what's going on. It's these conspiracy theories. It's these QAnon. Just this crazy that I don't even know how to describe it. And so Lisa McClain does try to play it down. You know, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is posting defund the FBI, you know. But then Lisa McClain will retweet her another time, so it defeats their whole narrative. Like Tudor Dixon's doing this whole thing that, number one, Tudor Dixon's whole campaign is ridiculous, that Governor Whitmer is the cause of violent crime and that every Democrat is the cause of violent crime.
I know.
So I won't go into that in depth, but I mean it's just ridiculous, and they're playing on people's fears with law enforcement and trying to do, you know, the political divide. But I really think that going into this district, it is a safe rest. It's been a red district for 20 years. Well, North Oakland, it opens a pathway. North Oakland's more purple. So it took the number down. It took the Trump number down. But it's still a really high Trump district. But Trump numbers have been going down. I mean, it's the threat. Number one, I think the threats that he's been making against the FBI, the threat that his followers have been making, because a lot of people that vote whichever way don't like that.
I know.
So So,
yeah,
you know,
especially if you're a decent human being, you don't like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to feel safe where you live, and you don't like the threat. That's all there is to that.
I mean,
you know
I'm a Democrat. My theories on criminal justice reform is if there's a police officer breaking the law, he should be arrested. I mean, it's really simplistic.
Yeah.
I have different ideas on hiring standards because I wanted to be, you know, just sort of federalized. It's very hard to be hired federally. I had to go through series of tests. There's psychological exams. There's everything that would cut down on a lot of systemic racism. But, I mean, that's a separate discussion. But the mere fact of, you know, what Tudor Dixon is claiming that every Democrat is advocating for violent crime is quite outrageous.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's why Shane Hernandez didn't come up, because my billboards are going up. Shane Hernandez is from Port Huron, and that's where I was. And my billboards will be going up there where it says, you know, was considered to be a prosecutor, you know, like trained to be a federal agent. So I am carrying, you know, trying to curtail what people view a Democrat actually is and what they're trying to sell as a Democrat. So I'm going to try my best. And it's hard
you
to
are doing
expensive
your best,
to have red district. Financially, you know, the donations were fine. I'm spacing out the advertisements for the next month and a half. And then, you know, just wait for November. I mean, there's only so much I can do. Contact the newspapers. When they do counter interviews, but it's hard because it's seven counties, so it's very difficult.
Yes, it sure is.
The especially in the thumb and the rural parts, because there's no way I can knock on all the, you know, I mean, it's impossible.
No.
The one campaign has people going out there, and they do talk about down ballot candidates. I mean, there's only so much you can do in such a large geographic district. So people have been taking my signs. People have been taking everything, and I hope you can grab some signs and get them up in your area. I have them at my home. But I want to defeat her. I want to bring a Democratic voice into Congress, and I want to show people that a Democrat isn't what Donald Trump is telling these people.
Right.
And that's really my hope and my goal. So
I have a question for you. Have you ever considered like getting the big guns in your district, like Debbie Stabenow, Gary Peters, other elected Democrats from like Talib Rashid Talib, and you know all those big guns to come in and campaign with you and go door to door with you?
I don't know him that well. I mean, I'm not.
And he's the governor.
I mean, Mr. I've done some events with Mr. Marlinga. I don't know. You know, I know Senator Stabenow. We've talked. They're not focused. So a lot of times what happens when a district's this red is that they won't put a lot of the effort. They're going to put a lot more of the effort into the 10th. I mean, if Carl has events and some big names come out, I don't think that he would keep me out of it. I've reached out to some people. I'm waiting to hear back. I don't want to make any statements. I'm trying my best to have different events. Like, I'm doing everything I can. I don't know the people. Like, I don't know the big guns personally that well. So it's harder for me as, you know, a younger Democrat to not, if you don't have a really close personal relationship. Like, I don't think they're purposely avoiding me. I just don't have their personal connections where to do a lot of events like that.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Oh, but, I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, I'm a shy person. A lot of people laugh when I say that. But, you know, for example, you know, if I want to speak to this politician, I say, hey, you know, can you do this? And what will it take for you to get here to speak to an audience? And would it cost any money? And how much would it cost? Like, for example, if you want former presidents like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama to come, you know, it wouldn't hurt to call the officer and say, hey, I'm such and such. I'm running for this congressional district. You know, I'm inviting you out. you know, to campaign, you know, and it would mean a lot to me.
I can try to reach out.
I
have reached out to some candidates that do different events. You know, I've just not been able to coordinate an event with anybody, and I know that I'll be at events speaking at the same time where, like, A.G. Nessel is also featured, and I'll be there as a speaker. But, you know, I've been trying to reach out, and I don't want to say the party's not helping me, because they are, but I think a lot of their focus and a lot of the events they do are for these swing districts, and it's harder to get them to come out.
Right.
Districts that haven't been flipped blue in 20 years. So it's more difficult.
You know what? Just
that
test
would be
them.
The
test them.
That's what I say. You know, if you have time, Brian, because the thing is that they should want this district to, you know, to turn blue. Only for that reason, that it's been 20 years, you would think that they would want to focus on it, you know, for that reason, especially when they know, you know, McLean's here and she's, you know, not good for the district. And it's a big district. You're right. Seven counties. It's a lot of people. So, I don't know.
I'm not trying to – I've been trying to reach out to everyone I can. So, I mean, I've been doing everything I can. I know the party's, you know, coordinated with me on events. And it's not like the party's ignoring me. It's just I haven't been able to secure any, you know, set events yet with – with names like
all
that,
right.
But I'm hoping I can.
You might get lucky.
I mean, I just want to remind everyone, I would love to be able to give yard signs to people, and you could sign up on my webpage, and if, you know, if anybody in the area wants to grab a number of yard signs
I do.
Distribute them. Okay.
I'll message you, Brian, so we can figure out when I can come in and pick up some yard signs, and I am going to put them out. I already plan on doing that. Cause we're
I have,
code,
you know,
so
I have, I have a bunch in my house, and then I have some more shipments of, you know, the assembly. I'm trying to do the best I can. I can't, I can't force U.S. senators, and I know they're really busy, and I don't know. I've reached out. I have not reached out. I don't want to say everybody I reached out to, but some people, the schedules didn't mix. I'm waiting to hear back from some others. And I just know it's difficult when a lot of candidates are experiencing this. When the district is predetermined to go so red, it's more difficult to get events and functions. And you're sort of let to do what, you know, I know Kim sort of dealt with this also in 2020.
Yes, she did.
You sort of do what you do, and you work it out. So
yeah.
I don't think she had
Kim
any events.
Kim worked really hard. I knew Kim. She did a good job, and she worked really hard. She really did. So I think she deserved to win, but it's so hard.
It is. Such a red district. But I'm trying my best. I don't want to give anyone's names I've reached out to, and I'll reach out to them again.
That's okay. And maybe we'll connect again in a couple weeks, and I'll message you for those yard signs. I do want to come and pick some up, and I will be putting them out in different spots where I think will be a good, you know, where I have in my head.
I appreciate that.
So I will be doing that, and I'll connect with you. With that, and I appreciate
you. Well, thank you so much.
On, Brian,
if you guys have any questions or you need anything, just let me know.
No, if you need anything, you let us know. Absolutely, we want you to win, Brian. You deserve
it. I want to win too. I'm trying my best.
I know.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so I've been speaking with Brian S.J., the official Democratic nominee for Congressional District 9 in the great state of Michigan. He just updated us on his campaign. To unseat Lisa McLean, the MAGA Republican. And, you know, wish him well, and we'll speak to him again soon. So, Brian, thank you so much for calling.
No, thank you. Have a great night.
You too,
you
Brian.
Do.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, man. Yeah, he has a shot like everybody else. But the thing is, I have a problem with Democrats. When they think, oh, you know, 20 years, we're having won that seat.
Yeah.
Just try.
That was my point
try.
That I was making.
You know,
try
at least.
That was my point that I was making. Yes. And you know what?
This guy,
You know, David,
this guy is a great
American.
This guy is a great American, a great Democrat. He has some great ideas. He runs on ideas and thoughts. You know, unlike Lisa McLean, let's just look on her record, for example. On budget and spending, McLean was, you know, with all the Senate and House Republicans and voted against the American Rescue Act plan. Of 2021, and you know, this American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 basically was a $1.9 trillion economic stimulus bill passed by the Congress and signed into law by Joe Biden March 11th, 2021, and it involved the COVID-19 stimulus package and American Rescue Plan. Now, McLean voted against those things. And yet still she's running on, you know, the passage of it, even though she voted against it. You know, as Brian said earlier in the interview, the Respect for the Marriage Act, that was a proposed bill by the Congress to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, and it required U.S. federal government to recognize and validate same-sex and interracial marriages in the United States. You know, she was against codifying Loving versus Virginia, which, you know, in 1967 was a landmark civil rights decision of the United States Supreme Court in which the courts ruled that law banning interracial marriages violated the Equal Protection Act and due process clauses of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. She was against the Obergefell versus Hodges, a 2015 act. It's a landmark civil rights case in which the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that a fundamental right to marriage is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States. You know, so it went it recognized marriages across state lines regardless of sex, race, ethnicity, national origin, of individuals who want to, you know, have same-sex marriage or interracial marriage. Now, if you're a good person, why would you vote against something like that? McLean did. You know, the 2020 presidential election, for example, she voted against accepting Arizona and Pennsylvania electoral college votes. And in 2022, at one of Trump rallies, the Nazi-like rallies, McLean forced a claim that Trump had, quote, caught Osama bin Laden. I mean, that should disqualify her from office because she's stupid. You know, everybody know that was the hard work of the U.S. generals and good, this Navy SEALs, the SEAL Team 6, and, I mean, planning out of the teeth to get Osama bin Laden. I know this woman, McLean, forced a claim that Trump had caught Osama bin Laden. I mean, if anybody had two drops of sense, they'd know better that, you know, Trump had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
You know, Republicans had nothing to do with it. It was such a top secret thing. That same night that Barack Obama came on the television in prime time. We knew it was something good. And then when we heard it, we're like in total relief. He did something. Mm-hmm. He got the head of the snake.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden recently killed the latest leader of Al-Qaeda and other leaders within Al-Qaeda. So Democrats, not only, you know, they're proactive. It's not just words. It's not just like word soup that sound good. It's not like a sound bite. They're actually doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. They are. And you're absolutely right about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden is trying to do everything that he can to bring his campaign promises to, you know, to light. And he's been working hard and diligently. And this country was a mess when he came in. And, you know, I just hope we get it back. And that's all. I just hope we get it back. You know, and the thing is, you know, Trump was in Ohio over the weekend for his QAnon rally, whatever the heck it was. And they said it was not that well attended from what I understood, from what I read. But then he also humiliated the candidate that he was going to endorse, that he endorsed. He humiliated J.D. Vance and said that he was kissing his ass for his endorsement.
Yeah, you can say kissing his ass.
Yes, for his endorsement.
In other words, Trump made it about himself, as usual.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows my mind that, I mean, these people are putting their stock into Trump, and he turns on them standing right next to them. And he doesn't even bat an eye doing it. Has anyone caught on to that yet?
No, because as I said, they're way too stupid, and they have no backbone or testicular fortitude.
J.D. Vance probably felt 2 inches. He probably felt, I mean, I can't even imagine. I saw the expression on his face when I saw a video of it, and he was, you could tell, his face, he was mortified by what he said.
Yeah, MAGA Republican.
But, you know, I don't feel sorry for J.D. Vance. I don't feel sorry for him.
Can I make this point? Yeah, I know. Can I make this point?
Yeah.
MAGA Republicans have no particular fortitude, nor do they have any common sense. And they just follow Donald Trump blindly. And, I mean, they have no critical thinking. And their thing is they have no policy agenda. It's like, hey, if I'm elected, I'll do this, that, that. You know, what they're saying basically is like, attack the Democrats. Call him or her a socialist, fascist, Islamist, which make no sense, as we were saying earlier. You know, and it's just going to backfire. I have hope in American people that it's going to backfire on November 8th because America is sick of Trumpism. We're better than this. We're a democracy, not a fascist state. And that's what Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are trying to put America in. And we're better than that. And, you know, speaking of Barack Obama saying about the death of bin Laden, you know, a lot of QAnon people and a lot of MAGA Republicans still blame Obama for 9/11. He was not president, you know. So
know.
It just shows,
I never heard that.
Show you the critical thinking and ignorance out there by Trump voters and MAGA Republicans and QAnon people. I mean, just take a click of a button to say, hey, you know, who was in charge when 9/11 happened?
That's
everything. Oh, blame Obama. You know, blame Hillary. Mm-hmm. Blame Democrats. You know? And Donald Trump, when 9/11 happened, you know, he said, oh, geez, he bragged about, you know, he has the highest, tallest building in New York City now. You know, and he claims that he went out helping the firemen and the fire rescue and the EMS and whoever else, which was garbage. Yeah. There's no evidence, you know, supporting that. And these people, these QAnon people, gobble it up like it's, you know, cooked food. I just can't understand people's thinking. They're that ignorant and stupid. It's a mixture of ignorance and stupid.
I'm in the same boat with you. I don't understand. Every day I shake my head, and every day I try to come up with a logical explanation to myself, because it's my own thinking, trying to understand, and there's nothing that I can come up with except these people are on another planet. They're just in another world. They're not in reality, and they're not in the same world we live in. I mean,
alternate universe.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary, to say the least, to think that we have these kind of people walking amongst us, you know. And I've gotten to the point now when I see a pickup truck with a huge American flag flying with, you know, in the back of it, you know, and I mean, I just automatically just, my blood pressure goes up. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm thinking to myself, okay, Lori, maybe he was a veteran and he's proud of his country, and you're thinking something negative, you know, you're thinking
mm-hmm.
that he's a Trumper, you know, and you have no evidence of that. So I try to keep myself, you know, balanced, but this is what's happened, you know, because that's
mm-hmm.
automatically what I think of, automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how far it's come, and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I know, to me, the QAnon people and whichever fringe group that's out there, there are movements
mm-hmm.
of hate and destruction because fascism, you know, the thing, Trump would make their lives better, but it has been proven time and time again when he was in office. He did nothing about COVID-19, many dying under
no.
his watch. He tried
no.
to privatize Social Security, but yet
yep.
the blame Democrats. You know, I mean,
yep.
the list is so huge. We could stay
yeah.
the next 4 hours going through all of them.
Yeah.
Donald
we
Trump,
could.
And the latest thing, he keeps threatening violence if he's indicted, you know, indicted.
Yeah.
And in the U.S. Constitution, it says that if somebody does that, it automatically disqualifies them from running for public office. I mean,
yeah.
my question is, why isn't Trump in jail already? Why isn't Brett Favre, for example, in prison? They got PPP money. And
yeah.
he didn't deserve the PPP money. It was for poor people in Mississippi, and
yes.
he used it to his benefit. I mean, it's disgraceful.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, you know.
Yeah.
And the people who should go to prison, not going to prison. They're getting the small fries and everything. You know, I mean, and I love talking about, the welfare queen. Who's a bigger welfare queen than Brett Favre? Who's a bigger welfare queen than Donald Trump? Where you know he hasn't paid taxes in how long? You know,
they
I mean, Jesus Christ, wake up!
It, you know, and you're absolutely right when you say that, because those are the people, the ones that are not paying the taxes, are the people that are living high on the hog, and they are actually
mm-hmm.
the ones that are sucking off the earth. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. They are the ones that should be blamed for when things go wrong and inflation, et cetera, like that, because
mm-hmm.
they're not paying their fair share. You know, the rest of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they're sucking on the government
share.
Teeth.
Yeah,
they're sucking
exactly.
on the government teeth and blaming,
exactly.
you know, the poor minorities yeah. and whomever else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
they're disgraceful and awful people.
Yeah, you know, and the next thing is, you know. DeSantis
mm-hmm.
sending those migrants to, you know, Martha's Vineyard. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It backfired on him. It
mm-hmm.
really did backfire
mm-hmm.
on him, if you think about it, because those
mm-hmm.
people at Martha's Vineyard have accepted those people, and they have fed them, they have clothed them, they are sending them to school. They took their arms and wrap their arms around those people, and it all backfired on Ron DeSantis' face. And
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is upset
mm-hmm.
with Ron DeSantis. That's the latest. Did you hear
mm-hmm.
that? Because
no,
he's got
no
more limelight. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's disgusting. So, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and Ron DeSantis is a piece of crap. He
yeah.
is a
heavyweight
Donald
piece
Trump
of crap.
On steroids. He's
mm-hmm,
a Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
on steroids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He really is.
Yeah. And how about Greg Abbott in Texas, for example? Beto O'Rourke
yeah,
is hot
thing.
On his heels.
Yeah.
You know, 4
yeah.
or 5% behind. He was down 17-20% behind. But the latest poll
yeah.
show that Beto O'Rourke is, you know, hot on his heels. And Beto O'Rourke,
yeah.
show what good character he has. He goes into Republican strongholds. Have conversations
yeah.
with people, not door to door, that what Brian Jay is doing. You know, sharing
yeah.
no fear and saying, here what, this is what I stand for. This
mm-hmm.
is your values. This is my values. This is what we stand for. Come with me. That's what Beto O'Rourke is saying. That's what Brian Jay is saying. That's what Carl Marlinga and several Democrats in red districts are saying that, hey, this is what I stand for. The Republican Party is saying this, which is destructive. The politics of personal destruction. They're not talking about policies and issues affecting you. The bread and butter issues, you know, school, health care. So why are you voting for these people? Come with me, you know, come with Democrats. This is what we stand for, and this is what we want America to be. Okay, we'll have three calls lined up.
Okay.
Let's call the first one, I think, in Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Not much. Loving the conversation. How y'all doing?
Hi.
Excellent. You're from Mississippi, correct?
Nah. This is Nas. I'm cooling, man. Not much going on here.
Cleo, hey, man.
You've called before. Yes.
Yes. So what's happening, man? Talk to me.
What's happening there in Georgia with the race? Tell us.
Well, you know, same old nonsense. Now Herschel is committing to a debate, but he's setting the floor for the debate as well. You know, Warnock's a smart guy with the business suits. I'm just a country boy from that used to play football. So now he's lowering expectations for the debate.
I read that article. I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I was going to quote what he said. I'm not that smart. And Warnock will show up and embarrass me. Oh, my God. And he wants to, and he's running for office. How scary is that?
Well, his team was busy. I guess this is the best strategy they can come up with. Well, we'll just say that, you know, there's no expectations. We'll make it as if Warnock doesn't completely blow him away, then it's a win for Herschel. So, you know, you kind of stagger the expectations for the debate. But just getting back to what you guys were just talking about, just think about it in these terms, man. This is what Baldwin kind of warned us about for so long, you know, back in the 60s, where he talked about the danger of whiteness in America. We have a high concentration of people who vote Republican but call themselves independent or libertarian or whatever other excuse they can claim not to, you know, actually claim the title of who they actually vote for. Mm-hmm. But we have huge concentration of these people who believe politics is a list of grievances and a group and a number of groups who you don't like. So whoever can either exert pressure on those groups and point out the many flaws of the world and why everybody else in the world has done them wrong and why they're the actual only true Americans who are deserving of, you know, a life and everything else. And that's their politics, man. This is their politics now. So when you see a stunt like DeSantis and Abbott in Texas, you realize really quickly that America is, of course, we're in post-truth era. We're in the era of it doesn't matter what actually happened. What matters is if your echo chamber tells you what you want to believe. So they're celebrating. In their group chats and in their Facebook groups or Twitter and everything else, they're celebrating. They're high-fiving. Yeah, give them liberals hell. You know, that's their mentality. So at this point, triggering the libs is more important than health care. Triggering the libs is more important than schools for their children. Triggering the libs is more important than the economy. So if that's how these people think, then, you're going to have a political party that's easily going to play the music and watch them dance. So we just went through 3 months of every day them screaming, the gas prices, how are people going to be able to do this, do that, and third. So then as that was addressed, it doesn't come up anymore, and now we're doing caravans 2.0. So last midterms we had the caravans are coming. They're going to come. They're going to eat you. And now they changed it to the border is out of control. The Dems want open borders.
I know.
And we're going to show the Dems, we'll send them there and see how they like it. Meanwhile, we're talking about people who are seeking asylum, and you've probably, put their legal situation in serious jeopardy, and there's going to be some lawsuits after this. Because I tell you one thing, if you want to find a lawyer, you can throw a rock and find one in Martha's Vineyard. So I don't know if they know they barked up the wrong tree, but they're about to get hit with a lot of paper. And it's going to be an interesting fight, but You guys are covering everything well. I just wanted to, you know, just step in for a minute and salute y'all. But again, America has to, we have two drugs that we are really addicted to that we really need to let go. One of them is the idea of cheap labor. And the second one is the idea, the invention called whiteness. We have to get rid of that. have to get rid of that. And again, this is not me attacking white people. I'm talking about the concept of white as constructed in the United States. Every human being is Homo sapiens sapien. Race is not a scientific term. Mm-hmm. Race is a social term created to decide who has and who does not have. Those things have to go.
You're right. Absolutely.
Hey, Cleo, I want to ask you a question, though. The media, the national media, the mainstream media, do you think that they're hurting the Democrats' cause in promoting Trump so much when he has these Nazi-like rallies? And instead of calling out Republicans, like, for example, CNN made this hard right shift, you know? I mean, the mainstream media is trying to be more like Fox News for the ratings. Ratings equal money. Do you think part of the problem is our national media?
Yeah, well, we've been through this before, the era of yellow journalism. Now you have the era of yellow journalism on steroids, because basically it's this. You will both sides every issue because you know you could possibly reach a viewer on the other side on something. So nothing ever comes down to what actually matters. It's all about getting the arguments out from both sides, getting points, you know, clicks and downloads from both sides, and continuing to make money. So the profit model in media was always going to lead to what we see now. Like, there was no other way around that, because ultimately you are beholden to your shareholders, you're beholden to your editorial board, you are not actually beholden to the American people. So it's your job to go out there and present, hey, you saw Sally get hit by a car. And you have to present a vision to where maybe the car had the right of way instead of talking about the actual incident that you saw happen in front of you. So, yeah, media is failing. They're doing a terrible job. And hopefully, some of the alternative media is out there, like you guys, like all of the podcasts most of us listen to.
Oh, yeah.
And the things you have to look for, you know, we'll be able to get past this and look back on it and kind of laugh, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, man. Cleo, thank you so much for calling in, man. Really appreciate it.
Much respect, man. Y'all have a good night.
Good night. All right. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That was Cleo from Georgia, the Peach State.
Yeah.
We had another caller, but unfortunately the person hung up. Please call back. We have 37 minutes. There was a Michigan call. I think it was Susie. So, Susie, if you're a call back, I want to hear from you, man. It's always good when you call. So, you know, back to what Cleo was saying, basically, it's like the entitlement and the alternate facts is like an alternate universe these people living in, where, you know, on social media can hide behind a screen and say anything, you know, and just add fuel to the fire, the gaslighting, basically.
And that's what Brian Jay was talking about, you know, about Twitter, you know, blew up, you know. And so social media is basically, we know that it's it is a necessary, but it's evil. It can be evil as well. So I don't know how that's going to, you know, affect everyone's lives going forward, because we see what's happening, you know, with the media. And with all the social media and how things spread and how lives have changed, and you know what I'm saying. So the other thing I wanted to talk for a second was our representative Adam Kinzinger. Remember, Kinzinger, the name that we, you know, can't get right every week. He was talking that, you know, he feels that if the Republican Party, if they win the House, that they are going to try to impeach President Biden every single week. That is the only thing that they will have on their agenda. you know, that is the only thing they have on their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and he was warning. You know, he was talking about that in the interview, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and this is a Republican talking, and I have much respect
mm-hmm.
for him. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just saying,
mm-hmm.
Democrats need to win, or else, you know, everything's going to go awry.
Yeah. Susan from Michigan, hello.
Hello, how are you? Great show tonight.
Not bad, not bad. Thank you. Smooth flowing, energetic.
I just cringe all the time when I hear these far-right people talking. I don't recognize our country anymore. They're not
mm-hmm.
for anything but themselves, and it's
mm-hmm.
like you said, a cult. They have
mm-hmm.
no issues to argue against. I mean,
mm-hmm.
health care,
mm-hmm.
basic stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, education, build bridges that they claim that they, when they go home, they said, oh, look at our new bridge, but they voted against
mm-hmm.
it, you know. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know how
mm-hmm.
we can change it, but it's just, mm-hmm. you're right, they're nuts.
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It scares the crap out of me because I got visions mm-hmm. of Mussolini and Hitler, you know?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping and praying that the women are going to save this by going to the polls and vote against abortion bans
mm-hmm.
and voting rights, and that's what
yeah.
we need to do, and I'm praying. I know around my neighborhood, you know, it's sort of purple, you know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to abortion rights and voting rights, it's blue. So
yeah.
I'm praying that it's going to turn out okay.
I'm hoping. I think they picked the wrong battle, and the abortion rights battle is not one to pick with women.
Yeah, they
That's
really
yeah.
screwed up, but it's the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
they just they got.
And I was reading on my phone news, one of the news things about
mm-hmm.
Senators, over 100 of them, been trading stocks, and they're not supposed to
mm-hmm.
and not reporting it and everything. They
mm-hmm.
got to change laws real quick to, because they're all
mm-hmm.
bought and paid for, you know, pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
stuff when COVID came out, and they
mm-hmm.
bought, you know, Pfizer and Moderna stock right away because they knew that
mm-hmm.
would be a help for them and their families,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to
mm-hmm.
stop. And like I said, if we could change the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
get it more normal, and take
yeah.
away the rule that they said businesses are people too and can contribute as much as they want to politicians, we might
mm-hmm.
get our democracy back.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's when
yeah.
it all went to hell.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
When they started giving billions of dollars to politicians, that's it. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Susie, in your district, in your area, are the people fired up and ready to go for November 8th? What's the mood like in your area?
The ones that I've talked to, there's some you don't mention, the other party,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
You can't talk,
mm-hmm.
but
of course.
The Democrats are very hopeful. I know that much. And, you know, when I saw the tables out for the lines for the petitions, there were
mm-hmm.
long lines signing it. So I'm really
mm-hmm.
hopeful. But
yeah.
I can't gauge on how many, you know. But those
mm-hmm.
are the voting rights. I mean, that's crazy. They're taking away our rights. And
yeah.
all
yes,
the other country, cities and like Georgia and everything, Texas, they're changing the laws,
mm-hmm.
making it harder to vote. And that's
mm-hmm.
crazy. It's supposed to be easier.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
It should be,
exactly.
You got 10 days and mail them in and make it easy. So you don't have to get
yep.
take
mm-hmm.
off from work and sit in the hot sun for hours and hours. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
here in Michigan, we don't.
So,
yeah.
so both ladies, I want to ask you this question. Like from the local level right up to the federal level,
you know, like school boards, for example. There are a lot of, QAnon people. Those,
yeah.
you know, rat bastards trying to, like, ban books and everything, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Do they have, like, a solid following, for example, if they're running for school board? Or, you know, what's the momentum that Democrats have compared to them? Do you
up
know?
Here, I don't know. They don't have a mm-hmm. school board election this time around. They already had it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I know that there was all kinds of, you know, when the virus came out and they wanted to give vaccines to the kids and wear masks and all that,
mm-hmm.
it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And the health
yes.
department, the head lady quit because they threatened her life and her family's life. And she was wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
my personal doctor was on the health department advisor, and he asked if the cops were going to be there so he could put in his 2 cents. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. I mean,
yeah.
you can't even
mm-hmm.
go to a meeting and be safe and
mm-hmm.
say what needs to be said. This is insane. It scares the crap
mm-hmm.
out of me. I thought about
mm-hmm.
for about 2 seconds running for the school board, and I'm going, nah,
mm-hmm.
not now.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No way.
Yeah, it's too
yeah.
toxic. Very
it's
toxic.
Very toxic.
Hey.
Well, they're threatening,
listen.
Like that poor guy, you know, Jay, Brian. I mean, threatening
yeah.
him and his family. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And they're doing it to all the politicians because
yeah.
they got nothing else.
Yes,
they
are.
Walk around with their big guns because they got little penises and no brains.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're, they think that
exactly.
makes them manly. I mean, give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I agree.
Yes.
That's
we'll have another
right.
call on the line. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking tonight?
What's cooking with you guys?
Oh, hi,
oh,
Madeline.
Everything.
I did decide to. Yes, yes. Had you already spoken in regards to the migrants that were sent to New York and Washington?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just got on. Yeah,
yeah,
I said that was that's one that really has my blood and my heart twisted in knots. I just think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Madeline,
mm-hmm.
this is going to backfire on to Satan because
yes, right.
Martha's Vineyard have, like I was saying a few minutes ago, have opened their arms and their hearts.
Oh,
to
wholeheartedly. It made him look like a jackass.
So that's what I'm trying to say. It's backfired on him. And
uh-huh.
it's just so
mm-hmm.
is. And how evil he is, and uncaring he is, and heartless.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's the only thing he's doing. So you know
mm-hmm.
what? Today, stop it. You screwed up, big
time. Ladies
absolutely.
And Dave. Doesn't the federal government send some kind of budget to take care of such things? Isn't
yes.
it go through the
DHS?
Yes. Well, they use taxpayer
and
money
use the
to
funds.
Do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, so the scientists and
yeah.
Abbott.
So what is he doing with his money?
Nation.
What
Abbott,
is he
Abbott,
doing
yeah.
with his money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he's getting.
Yeah,
they
should be
answering.
Investigated for using taxpayer money to do something like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is what they use, taxpayer money. Absolutely.
So
mm-hmm.
the money he gets from the feds, what does he do with?
Who knows?
Uh-huh. Any,
we don't know.
You know what? It's a simple question to ask, and you know that I haven't heard anyone think about, don't you folks get federal assistance and for your state, for your Medicaid programs, and for your things of that nature, your disabilities, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So where is that money going if you're spending the
money? They probably don't want to spend it on what they want, what it's allocated for.
That's
they don't
exactly.
want to spend
it
on that. That's
yes.
just,
mm-hmm.
and I don't
need
understand
someone
what
else to say it. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, you're right.
Hear,
it backfired. It backfired.
I did hear they're going to do, the DOJ is going to investigate both Texas and DeSantis.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
They are.
Satan.
I know. DeSantis. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to reiterate an old topic. I just,
no,
that was just
okay.
the topic of the nature
yeah.
in the last couple of days, that's the one that really won't leave, you know, leave my head. It goes over and over, trying to justify
yep.
what I'm. Oh, you're right.
It's
it did
cruel.
Backfire on him.
How
and Kemper's no.
And you know,
I'm sorry, Abbott is no better.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And what about jumping ship here? Stacey Abrams and Kemp, are they matched? Are they tied at the polls?
They're pretty close. And also in Texas, Beto is 9 points behind, which is not much.
Well, he's closer now than he's ever been.
And I think Charlie Crist is, I think he is catching up to DeSatan.
DeSatan, I love it. Lori, you made us all say that word.
That's right. That's all he is. He's nothing DeSatan. Better than that. Yep. He's nothing better than that.
There does have to be a better system to handle migrants.
That was my next statement.
Like our relatives that came in. Of course, they had to go across on the water. You had to file papers ahead of you and have a sponsor, you know.
Yeah, see, this is a little bit different, though, Susie. These are people that are
looking for asylum.
And a lot of them have walked, you know. I mean, they've left their country because their lives are in danger. They have no livelihood. They have no money. They have no place to go, and they're coming to our country for asylum. It's a little bit different.
Well, they did during World War II. When they ran away from the Nazis and stuff, there was a ton that came in. But
that's
it was more organized and stuff than they are now.
Ladies, I think an audit would be perfect, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, audit's
always perfect. Just on DeSatan, now he wants to play these games. And we all know this is a game, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It's all for sure.
Then let's go down. If he gets federal funds, you know, every state puts in to a pot at the federal government, and then they withdraw as well. Like Kentucky puts the least, it takes the most. Hail McConnell, okay? So let's see. What does Florida put in and take out? Because remember Governor Cuomo in the real high part of the pandemic, he would tell on his briefings that each state puts in this kind of money and that kind of money. So the governor, like Trump, can't complain about sending stuff to the state. So what is the state doing?
I mean, Florida, having lived in Florida for years, Broward County and Miami pay the biggest share in federal income dollars and everything. The rest of it is basically sponging off Broward County and certain parts of Miami. So the red areas in the state of Florida, you know, the talk crap, but yet still depend on Broward County and Miami for the bulk of what Florida does in terms of like healthcare, infrastructure, education, medicine.
That's exactly my point.
You know?
So what does Florida do? Yeah. I want to see numbers. Somebody needs to go and say, yes, write it down and then release it to the public.
What he did to Disney World, remember?
I thought about that the other day.
I wonder how much the people around there are pissed.
The non-tax status. The non-tax status because, you know, Disney.
They lost
said,
it?
They lost it. DeSantis took it away from them because, according to DeSantis, they're promoting, you know, the gay lifestyle and, interracial.
Exactly.
Not interracial,
they required masks. They wanted people to wear masks.
And things like that.
Everything contrary to what Satan wanted,
You know, and it really irks me that when DeSantis recently had a press conference, was it a Republican event or a press conference? I don't really know right now. And he was talking about banned books and everything, and he was mocking the woke culture and everything. He got a standing ovation. It absolutely made me want to vomit. The amount of crap that was coming out of his mouth. You know, I mean, you think to yourself, how the goddamn hell they elect this stooge, this moron, this idiot, this clown as governor, you know?
Wait a minute. Did you realize what you just said? If the president of the United States is Donald J. Trump, how easy would it be to get us to Satan in Florida?
Oh, God.
Think about it. they, you know, they condoned it once, so let's, you know, there's no, they can do it again. Now it's Florida, and they're stuck with
that
jackass.
Well, the people around Disney World now have to pay for their own roads where Disney paid for them before, and a lot of the benefits that they got from Disney World now, it's on the people that live around there.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Disney,
I hope they're pissed enough to get rid of
it. Oh, I'm sure they would be, wouldn't you?
I would be.
Absolutely. There was no question about it. He's a jackass. Mm-hmm.
I hope people get smart enough to, I mean, how can the orange one that's been impeached twice has so many lawsuits against them, so many indictments coming, run for office again? It doesn't make any sense. He shouldn't be qualified. He's
That's
qualified
why they're dragging their heels.
Prison. He's qualified for orange suit in prison.
It's all talk. It's not going to happen. He doesn't want to be president again.
He's doing it for the money, and idiots are giving him money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a minute about another race that's going on in Ohio. Nan Whaley is running for governor of Ohio. She used to be the mayor of, let me see. She
Cleveland?
Used to be the mayor of Dayton, Ohio. She was Dayton, Ohio mayor. Dayton, Ohio. She was the mayor there. And she's running, like I said, Democrat. For the governor of Ohio, and she's running on exactly what we've been talking about all along. She is saying that freedom is on the ballot, and she's absolutely right. And when she decided to run, she said that she knew that the women of Ohio were not going to sit out of the midterm elections. As soon as the news broke that the Supreme Court had reversed Roe versus Wade on June 24th, the former mayor of Dayton, who is running for governor against incumbent Mike DeWine, joined a rally of over 5,000 people on the state house steps in Columbus, Ohio. And a Republican-identified woman sought her out. She came up to me, Whaley said, and told me, I voted for DeWine, but no more, no more. And this is exactly what's going to be going on. And she goes on to say that we're seeing women, particularly Republican women, deciding that access to their health care for their bodies is more important than anything else. And, you know, and she's also surprised that it isn't just women who are shocked and fearful after Governor DeWine signed a new heartbeat abortion bill into law just 7 hours after Roe fell. I mean, so this is another state we have to pay attention to because Ohio is red. Ohio is very red. We all know that. And if she wins in Ohio, that would be great. That would have Michigan, Ohio, you know, hopefully Pennsylvania. I mean, we would be a powerhouse, don't you think?
Yes,
right,
we would be.
Yes, definitely.
And Texas. Georgia, maybe Florida.
Wisconsin needs to
Florida.
Turn blue, too.
Huh?
Wisconsin needs to turn blue.
Yes, but I'm just saying the states right now that I'm thinking about, you know, having a woman run in Ohio is a big deal to me. I think that's awesome. So Michigan, Ohio, and then, of course, Georgia, and then Beto in Texas. You know, in Florida, I've not given up on Florida. I belong to a couple groups, and these people hate the Satan with a passion. They think he is the scum of the earth. So I haven't given up on Florida, but we'll see. We'll see.
Nor have I. Right. Nor have I. I agree with Susie.
You know,
okay.
I
don't know.
Huh?
I don't know where he came from. But I think he took over for Rick Scott. No, Rick Scott. Yeah, Rick Scott was the governor before Satan.
Yeah.
Well, that's another piece of work, okay?
Yeah,
he
know.
Yeah, he can call it what it is. He is a piece of shit.
You know, he's a Noah. He is a grade A piece of shit.
Yeah, darling, their words have not been invented for him yet.
Exactly.
How dare he
exactly.
mess with Medicare and Medicaid?
Yeah.
You know, and instead of going to prison, the people of Florida elected him governor. Not once, twice.
I know.
How stupid is that?
He didn't even go to, and you're right, he didn't go to prison. He didn't face any consequences.
Oh, you know, he 4 months into the investigation, he resigned, okay? That's why he was untouchable. And then the government slapped them with $1.7 billion fine for cheating Medicare. And he has the balls to get in front of a TV and say he wants to mess with it again?
Yeah.
I know. It's incredible.
Republicans are something else.
I think the people in Florida need to know this.
They know it.
I don't think they know.
Yeah, they know it.
No.
Trust me. Yeah, they know. They know.
Oh,
trust
no.
me. I used to live there. They know.
The gold timers? You mean the snowbirds that are coming down? Do you think they know, Dave?
No. Yeah.
Because now the snowbirds are coming down pretty soon.
No, Florida is very gendered. Very
I don't know. Florida, weird. Weird. Yeah. Weird is
like
the word.
Like, down in the south part, very south, they're, like Fort Lauderdale and Broward County, that's all Democrat. And then as you go up, right, David? As you go up?
Yeah. Yeah. It turns more Republican.
Yeah. Don't forget about the Riviera.
But you really know it's not Republican. They're fascists, these crazy Looney Tunes. They're fascists.
Yeah.
They're not Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
the Republicans that
Republicans.
We're used to. This is a whole different thing. This is a cult.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
You know,
I don't know where
about,
they came from, but they're coming out of the woodwork.
When you think about, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, we talk about, you know, the party of Lincoln a lot. And when you think about that Republican Party and Abraham Lincoln, you know, he really was not a staunch Republican because he did care about people and his policies were kind of like in the middle, you know, and so that's, you know, that's where a lot of the Republicans draw their support or want to be a Republican because he was more, you know, more in the middle or more a little bit to the right, but and they think that Democrats are, you know, too much to the left. But, you know, the party of Lincoln is no longer, you know, now they're the party of fascists and MAGAs.
Exactly.
And they're crazy. So.
Yeah, because Lincoln
and even in more recent, even in more recent,
when
I think, even more recent history, Eisenhower, what we stand for now, Eisenhower stood for. So it's Eisenhower, communist, fascist, you know. Whatever the words are used, people call fascist, communist, whatever, you know? I mean, if Eisenhower or even Reagan tried to run for the Republican nomination this time, they'd probably be laughed out of the auditorium because what they stood for, we stand for now. And, you know, they're calling us extremists for things that Reagan and Ike was for. So, I don't know, this Republican... I think Hitler would be proud and Mussolini would be proud of today's Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, though, it was a Republican Party under Senator Prescott Bush in 1933, first in the U.S. history, first time in U.S. history that Republicans tried to overthrow the government and wanted to, you know, arrest FDR and whoever else. And they chose the wrong general, Smedley Butler, a U.S. patriot who came out and said, hey, this is what they're doing. This was who was in charge of it. Fred Cork from Cork Industries. That's the Cork brothers' father.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big
yeah.
John Bircher from John Bircher Society. It was, you know, people like Prescott Bush, senator from Connecticut. I mean, the list goes on and on. I tried to overthrow the government then and McCarthyism after that. You know, so the Republican Party... I can say, oh, yes, we're for, you know, the FBI, we're for, you know, the police and everything. But that's the one thing, and let's do another thing. If it don't fit their agenda, they hit out against it, you know? And the American people should wake up and realize that Republican Party do not care about them. That's the bottom line. You know?
No, it's all about money and power.
Yeah, it's not what you say, it's what you do. And Democrats have been proven to be not only talking but doing, as Joe Biden has, you know, signed bill after bill, moving America forward. Republicans have not contributed anything but voting no on every goddamn thing. Yeah, so I feel, I go there on a limb and say, I feel Democrats are winning a landslide because Americans are sick and tired of the Republican bullshit. You know, they even voted against baby food. Who does that? Who does that, man? Vote against baby food. Who does that? It's going to backfire. Women pissed off. Parents pissed off. Teachers pissed off. Union people pissed off. Every generation pissed off. And the Republicans will learn a lesson. Trust me. Anyway, ladies, we got to go. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a spirited debate and, you know,
my
conversation.
Pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
Kat. Yeah, that was Susie in Michigan.
Bye, Susie. Bye, Lori.
Yeah, man. And that was Madeline. Yes, man. So we have 9 minutes to wrap up on everything. So let's go through this thing. We're focusing on Michigan because Michigan is a very important state for Democrats to win. And a special shout out to a couple people that's in Michigan running for re-election. Congresswoman Deborah Dingell, her district has been redistricted from 12th district to the 6th district. You know, and Whitney Williams is a Republican who's challenging her. We hope Debbie Dingell, you know, I mean, give her a political spanking. My personal favorite, Elisa Slotkin. She's in Michigan District 7. She's a Republican plus two. Tom Barrett is a Republican challenging her. And Elisa Slotkin. I just love that woman. I love that woman. She's a great congresswoman. She's a great leader. Big shout out to the congressman, Dan Kildee. He redistricted from the 5th district and now the 8th district. Michigan 9, as we said, is Brian Jay versus Lisa McClain. And Brian Jay will pull off an upset. I just feel it. For real. I feel it. And we'll give her a fight. And we'll give her a fight right to the end. Michigan 10. That's John James, Republican, versus Carl Malinga. Carl Malinga, he's going to whoop some ass. Whoop some candy ass, trust me. Michigan 11, Haley Stevens. Hello, Haley Stevens. She's incumbent there. It's plus seven for Democrats in Michigan 11. Michigan 12. That was it was redistricted from 13. The incumbent, Rashid Tlaib, she's part of the squad in Congress, is now Michigan 12. It's plus 23 Democrat leaning. Well, I take anything for granted. Stephen Ellett is our Republican opponent, working class, Gary, whatever his last name is, Walkowitz. And Michigan 13 is a new seat. And Sri Thanidar. Senator is a Democratic nominee for District 13. So, I mean, Democrats, we give them a run for their money. And
like I
don't
said,
care about it. I personally feel it's going to be a landslide.
I do, you know, I've been saying that. You know, I've been saying that for a while. Not so much a landslide, but I have been saying that I think, you know, we are going to probably take Senate. I believe it. And our governorships in the states you mentioned. I truly feel it. People are sick and tired, being sick and tired of this garbage every day. It's stressful. You know, this orange monster face on the news every day. It's sickening and we're tired of it. I want him arrested and gone for the rest of my life and everyone else's lives. It's disgusting. It's here we go. Michigan goes, David, like I said, we have been redistricted, and I think it's in a lot of our favors and the way that they, you know, remapped everything, and I think it's going to work out in our favor. It's not going to be easy, like you said. It's tough, and there's a lot of attacking going on and horrible things in the background, but I think we can do it. Women are motivated.
Yes, yes, there are. Yes, there are. And, you know, shout out also to Missouri Democrats, Emmanuel Cleaver, Cori Bush, the congresspeople from Missouri. Mississippi have Bernie Thompson. He's the chairman for the January 6th committee. He's in Mississippi. Minnesota, Angie Craig is the incumbent. And Minnesota District 2 is plus one Democrat. I think she'll pull it off. Who else is in Minnesota? Minnesota, Ilhan Omar in Minnesota District 5, plus 30 Democrat seat. Cicely Davis is a Republican who's challenging her, but I don't think Cicely Davis has a ghost of a chance, really. Am I leaving out anybody? God, a lot of people, 435 members. Bill Keating in Massachusetts 9, Stephen Lynch in Massachusetts 8, Ayanna Pressley in Massachusetts District 7, Seth Moulton, Catherine Clark, Jack Ashloss, Tory Trahan in number 3 and 4 respectively, Jim McGovern in District 2, and Massachusetts District 1, Richard Neal, all congresspeople. You know, Massachusetts is the bluest state in the United States. All their delegation is Democrat. So big shout-out to them. Jamie Raskins, he's part of the January 6th committee also. Hello, Jamie Raskin. Continue the good work you're doing. Who else? David Trone in Maryland 6. Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer, the deputy leader on Nancy Pelosi, he's in Maryland 5. You know, Anthony Brown, he is incumbent, but he's retiring to run for Attorney General of Maryland. Good luck to him. He'll win. He'll win big. Glenn Ivey is a Democratic nominee for Maryland 4, District 4. John Sarbanes is in Maryland 3. Let me see. Who else? Dan Wuppersberger, he's in Maryland District 2. Going down the line here. Louisiana, the one Democrat that's in Louisiana is District 2, Troy Carter. Who else? Kentucky, we'll have John Yarmuth, Kentucky 3. He's running again. John Yarmuth is retiring, so the new Democratic nominee is Morgan McGarvey. They're going to challenge Stuart Race, the Republican. Going down the line here. Kansas, the one Democrat in Kansas 3 is Amanda Atkins. Sharice Davids, the incumbent. But Kansas 3 is plus one Republican, so she's going to have a fight on her hands. That's a too close to call race as of now. Iowa, Cindy Axne is the Democratic nominee. Who else? Indiana, we'll have as Democrats Andre Carson, the incumbent congressman. Big props and shout out to Adam Schiff. I can't forget him. He's one of my favorite people in Congress. Yeah, he doesn't stand for shit. Cherry Bustos, she's retiring in Illinois. Yeah, so, you know, the Illinois 17th should be very close as well. I mean, the list is so long, I can't go through all of them because we have 90 seconds left. But want to thank everybody for calling in. Well, I had 6 callers today, and that's nice. It was a spirited conversation tonight. It was a good show, our first 2-hour show. And want to thank everybody for sharing on social media. We'll thank Brian J. for calling in and updating his campaign and everything. Keep a fight with them. You're going to win, Brian J. You're going to win, Kyle Marlinger. We're going to win Democrats. Win Big Toe. Till next time, in New Mexico, I'm David Franklin. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. Everyone have a good evening and vote blue November 8th. And that's what we're going to do. Bye now.
And remember, facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 is where you go for all information latest in politics. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place on Block Talk Radio.
Good night.
There must be lights burning bright. Got to be birds flying higher in the sky. If I can dream of a better land, where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Thank you.